Mercy and peace be unto you from God the Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 4 feet, 9 inches. That's the maximum. 4 feet, 9 inches. It is the maximum height one can be to ride comfortably in an airplane nowadays. I just saw last week that another one of the major airlines is now condensing the seat size in terms of the leg space down again so they can add another row of seats. It rather is maddening if you think about it. It takes a lot of the fun out of travel, if there ever was any fun in it in the first place. They're squeezing us in more and more so they can gain a couple extra seats and a couple extra tickets, and they're lessening the number of flights to ensure that all the flights are overbooked. And that's caused a bit of a problem. We all have these phones. We can record all kinds of fun things on airplanes nowadays and let the world know about it. You know, and it seems to me with the money that the airline seems to be accruing and profiting from adding an extra row of seats, they're probably losing 3 times that amount in the lawsuits that they're facing because of the different shenanigans that have been going on because nobody wants to ride in a cattle car. We can only be compressed so far, so much. I tend to be claustrophobic. I hate flying. Because I don't want people pressed up against me. I need space in my shoulders to be able to move around. I know it's some kind of psychological defect on my part, but I can't stand being in tight spaces. I can't stand having people standing close around me. I can't stand being in big crowds, and I certainly do not like flying on airplanes. It has taken the fun out of it. Usually when you're going somewhere, it's exciting. And so the trip itself is exciting. But when you have to face a situation where you're really challenged to be able to keep your wits about you, it kind of takes the fun out of the situation. The disciples had a trip. They just didn't know what the trip was. You know, thank goodness we had Thomas there asking for directions. Apparently Thomas wanted to be able to have the GPS coordinates to know exactly where he was going in his life. And Jesus had to make clear exactly what it was all about. That the life, the trip, the plan was all about being with Jesus. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I'm it, follow me. And so what it's wrapped around really is the disciples' understanding of they need, as disciples and believers, to follow that path that Christ has set out. A path that will take them in all kinds of different directions, but a path that requires them to be able to do the things that Christ would have them do. It wouldn't be an easy path, but nonetheless it was one that they were asked to follow. We like the easy way. We like the smooth path. We like the wide roads. We like the straight lines. We don't like being challenged in our travels. We don't like being challenged in our lives. But yet sometimes when we look at Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, what we find is that challenge is there for us, calling us to do things that we might not want to do, sending us in directions we might not want to go, putting us on planes we might not want to have ourselves squeezed into, involving ourselves in situations that we'd rather avoid, challenging us to think about others before we think about ourselves. Trying to think of the name. Abby Grace. Abby Grace is a good example of somebody who understood exactly what placing herself, placing others before herself was all about. Because she baked cookies. Abby Grace is 9 years old. She lives in McLean, Virginia. And she baked a batch of cookies for her next door neighbor. Because she knew her next door neighbor was having an exceedingly bad week. And she thought the cookies would help. And so she baked the cookies and she told her mother she was taking them next door. Her mother was a little dubious, wasn't sure she was actually going to get in next door because it was covered with television vans and security. Because you see, Abby Grace's neighbor got fired that week by the President of the United States. Everybody knew it. And so when she convinced the 6'10", 375-pound guard at the gate to let her in, James Comey was greatly touched that she took the time to think of him in that way on his less than happy week. The first part of this lesson that we have in the gospel is pretty well known because I would imagine most of you have heard it at somebody's funeral. Many rooms, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Actually, it's probably the one verse I've said more than any other verse in my pastoral career. But it's the second half that doesn't come up much. That second half where Jesus talks about the disciples going out and doing the work. Works greater than what Jesus did. Now there's something to give you pause. Raise your hand if you've done works greater than Jesus. Anybody raise anybody from the dead? Heal anybody? Walk on water? Change water into wine? Heal the sick? Feed a multitude? Seem a little hard-pressed for that. But then, you know, when there's theological questions within my world that I'm trying to sort out and wonder, the first place I turn to is God. Or somebody who played God on TV. And so I look to Morgan Freeman. When Morgan Freeman played God on Bruce Almighty, the one thing he talked about when he was talking to Bruce was wrapped around what a miracle was. And if you've ever seen the movie, at one point when Bruce had the powers of God, he sat in a diner and he parted his tomato soup like Moses parted the Red Sea. And Morgan Freeman says, Jim Carrey says, parting soup isn't a miracle. It's a magic trick. Said a single mother working two full-time jobs who can find the time to take her kids to soccer practice. That's a miracle. There's a young man who says no to drugs and yes, to education. That's a miracle. He said you need to be the miracle. I think we're all hard-pressed to raise anybody from the dead, multiply food, heal the sick, walk on water, change water into wine. But we can be the miracle. You see, when we take and approach life the way Abby Grace did in terms of looking what she could do for her next door neighbor, there is where the miracle begins. When we spend less time thinking, wondering, and worrying about ourselves and our life situation, and we spend our time worrying and thinking about how we might help others, how we might please or satisfy or change the situation of our neighbor's life, how we might reach out to somebody in need, how we might bake cookies for somebody who's having a bad week, how we might hold the hand of somebody who's grieving the loss of someone special, how we might listen to somebody who just has a boatload of things they need to get off their chest. And we might go and just take somebody to the doctor because they can't get there themselves. And we might make sure that the Grace Homeless Shelter has a full supply of water this summer. There is a myriad of things, of these greater works that we can do simply when we know and understand what our focus might be and what our focus should be. The miracle takes place when we don't worry about ourselves, but we wonder what it might be that we can do for others. That's where the miracle begins. The miracle begins when we find ways to be able to serve and help other people in need, to be able to change their life situations. There, the miracle begins. When we do the things that Jesus would ask us to do, when we understand truly Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life, and we wrap ourselves around that understanding and we follow on that path, there the miracle begins. When we're able to do whatever it is we can do to serve the greater good of the communities of which we're a part, to reach out to our neighbors, to reach out to our friends, to reach out to complete strangers, there the miracle begins. When Jesus told the disciples that they could do works greater than His, I doubt they understood that any more than we understand that. But we have the ability to work miracles within the lives of the people we encounter each and every day. If we take the time to be able to share that love that God has bestowed to us, if we take the time to be able to use the gifts that God has blessed us with, there the miracle will begin. As Jesus had the ability to reach out and touch individuals within the world He encountered, we too have that very same gift. To be able to reach out, to be able to change lives, to be able to bring love, to be able to heal in a way that no medicine can heal, but to heal through compassion, to heal through caring, to heal through love. When we do that, there the miracle begins. We're never in our mind ever going to match or exceed the works of Jesus. But we can work the miracle within our lives to be able to take ourselves, to transform ourselves, to be Jesus in this world, to reach out where we can and when we can, to bring healing, to bring compassion, to bring care, but most of all, to bring love. For when we bring the love of Christ, there the miracle begins. Amen.